The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots, fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stepmiller, with you on this Wednesday, 25 April 2018. Thank you, Chris Hinckley, for sitting in for me yesterday, Tuesday. I had the flu. And I've got Steve Elkins here. Hello, Steve.
Hey there, John.
How are you?
I am doing super down here in God's waiting room. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Beautiful place.
Except for the heat and the humidity.
Yeah, but what did I send you today? What picture did I send you today? Come down. A monstrous hamburger. You know, this. How many Big Macs does this thing make up? This thing is huge.
I don't know, but as I said to you, they used it. This is a private restaurant, and they're using this is our Big Boy, which is a ripoff of Frisch's, which started the original Big Boy, of which McDonald's actually ripped off the idea for their Big Mac. You know, I miss the little fat boy with a tray in his hand.
Yeah.
When I was
John, when you come down here, I'll hook you up with this burger and a cardiologist at the same time. Fair enough.
Say again.
I'll hook you up with a cardiologist after eating this burger. This thing is huge.
Well,
it's awesome though.
At any rate, we have some good news.
We've got some great news.
Please, because I've been getting phone calls and emails. Please,
I am too, and I'm tired of it, John. Tired of it.
Well,
no, I've got some great news about Ron McDonald. I've been keeping in touch with him and his nurses, and I've been calling over there. And I got off the phone with him maybe an hour ago. And he's amazing. His sense of humor is back. He's back. He should be back behind this mic. We're looking at probably May 7th. He'll be back, I think, May 7th.
You know, hold on here a second. If he doesn't show up Monday, I would be surprised.
And if he doesn't,
he'll be back here. When did you say? May what?
May 7th.
What do you want to make a bet? He's back next Monday.
I don't think so. He told me already.
But wait a minute here. I'm going by my intuition here. Now, I'm not a medical doctor, even though I sometimes play one on radio. You worked at this very same hospital. You know these doctors and these nurses.
I do.
You know them by first name.
I do.
Okay. And you being the advocate for the patient, you take the realist road. You're not rose-colored. And in your profession, you can't cross your fingers and hope for things to work out the best. That's your job, to work to make sure that we get the best results and the patient gets the care and all that other stuff. Yep. Now, having said all that, I talked to Ron McDonald for an hour prior to his surgery. I talked to him when did he have his surgery?
Tuesday morning.
And I talked to him Monday night for almost an hour.
Yeah.
And I've known Ron for about 8 years. And I called you after, I texted you, and I didn't get to talk to you until the following day. Mm-hmm. But after talking with Ron, and we discussed his other health issues, mm-hmm. His diabetes and all of that, and I said to Ron, I said, so you don't think the kidneys are going to be an issue? Because here was the problem. He almost went into renal failure when he went in the hospital the first heart attack. They shot him up with dye. This is how they discovered all the occlusions. It wasn't 9, by the way. It was 10, which has got to be a world's record. So they shot him up with his dye, and his diabetes has affected it. He's had for 40 years, affected his kidneys to the point that the doctors didn't want to operate on him.
Right.
They figured that, hey, you know, we're just going to make him comfortable, give him a script, send him home.
Yeah.
And whoa, wait a minute here. I can remember, and I told the story on air. I'm not going to tell it again, but my ex-mother-in-law that is now deceased, doctors standing in a hospital, and I'm standing in this room, and I'm listening to them converse, and they were just going to pack up the old lady and just send her home and make her comfortable. And I said, really? I said, is this the hospital that people just come to die because you don't want to treat them? Well, what happened with this? He had the second heart attack, and then there was a diagnostic differential. That comes when doctors don't have an answer. They want to seek the advice of their fellow surgeons, and they had a differential diagnostic. Not, you know, here's 10 files sitting on a table. These doctors assembled for this one case, and they arrived at the conclusion, well, wait a minute here. Why don't we try this? We'll do the stent in the other artery. We'll open that one up. After we do that procedure, we'll wheel him down the hallway, and then we'll do the bypass, the double bypass.
Right.
And that was the best option for a full recovery, but that was also the diciest. But Ron said something to me, and I had complete confidence in this guy's, at least. Nobody can guarantee when the anesthesiologist starts telling you to count down from 100, you don't know if you're ever going to open up your eyes again, no matter how dicey the surgery is.
Right.
A lot of mistakes, and a lot of people have died on the operating table because of the anesthesiologist. But at any rate, not getting off track here. So here's Ron. I'm talking to him, and I told him, I said, well, you've got to get some sleep because you got a big day ahead of you tomorrow. And he goes, yeah. And he says, you know what? He said, and the distinct impression I got from this guy, he was okay if he lived, but he was ready, if he had to shuffle off the mortal coil. And I told him, I said, Ron, I said, there's one good reason why you can't do that. What's that, John? You haven't given us your second book. But he did say, he did tell me, he took the opportunity to tell me. He said, this case is real close, and it's a major one. He said it'll be worth the wait. Yeah. But at any rate, I didn't get any indication from him that he was scared. Of course you're going to be concerned when a doctor tells you, hey, we're going to do this, and you might not live. You know, right. It was, at best, I would say, a coin toss. But yeah. The caliber of the doctors out there and the procedure and how they went about it, Ron McDonald is alive and well.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Healing.
He's doing good. Yeah. Yeah, we had some talks before. You know, it's funny that before he went into surgery the next day, he said, Steve, I don't know what to say. We're very close. A lot of emails we've shared, and I won't go into detail. I don't want to get all sappy on you here, but Ron's a sweetheart of a guy. He's got a big heart, and he said, I don't know what to say, Steve, if I don't come back. And then we made a little humor out of some of it, just kind of trying to break the ice and make him feel a little bit more comfortable. But I said, you know, you wake up, and you open your eyes after anesthesia, at least when you're in the back in your ICU room. If you see a beautiful nurse there, it will be very confusing because you'll not know if you're in the ICU or you're in heaven. But it's a definite. If you wake up, open your eyes, and there's an ugly nurse standing there, you are not in heaven. You are in the ICU. And he started laughing. He goes, you're right. There wouldn't be ugly nurses up in heaven. I said, no. If you open your eyes and there's an ugly nurse there, a big fat ugly nurse or something, you were in the ICU. You made it, and then we go forward. So he laughed at that. It was pretty funny.
He does have a sense of humor, but the man can't tell a joke to save his soul.
No, he's terrible.
Or if he had to tell a joke to save his life, he wouldn't be able to do it.
No, he would be a very, he'd be a starving comedian.
Well, I said to him, and I revealed to him what I'd said on air with you, that on the broadcast Monday, I just simply asked the question, you know, I told Ron before, you know, you die on me, I'm going to come out there and kick your butt. And I said, I asked Steve Elkins on air, is there a penalty for kicking a corpse's ass?
That's against the law, yeah.
Well, and I told that to Ron. And now, folks, understand. Now, here's a man that's going into surgery. This is why I'm saying this is a testament to his humor. You know, I'm not that crass. I'm not that crass, or I'm not that, you know, give it a name. That I just trusted that I could tell him that, and he would find it humorous, even though his life was hanging in the balance at a surgeon's knife edge.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are reasons, and then there are reasons why we are where we're at any given point in time in our lives. And I'm not saying it's predetermined destiny or anything, but there's a reason why things happen.
Yeah, yeah. He's amazing. I said, how much pain medication have you been taking? None. No pain medication. Here they split your chest, take spreaders, open it up, go in there and do the heart bypass, and then put it back together, and they wire it. They actually wire your sternum back together. And he's not having a chest pain. He's working on his incentive spirometer, that little breathing machine they gave you, and he's pulling 2,500 cc's right off the bat. And I said, that's pretty dang good. I said, you think John could do 2,500 cc's?
The way I'm sitting right now?
I said, he might pull 1,000.
I can tell a good joke, but I'm not sure I've got the sense of humor to handle that one.
incentive, John. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, man. Absolutely, yeah. Okay. Well,
no, he's doing good.
I am just so relieved. And the irony of this, you know, what's the irony of this? You know, I'm having him on the program Mondays. You're listening to the program. You call into the program. I suggest you two get together. You two become fast friends.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that the guy has a heart attack and goes to the very same hospital that you just left.
Yeah.
I see synergy all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You want to hear something else weird? This is really weird. I talked about on my show before about how the name, the word neighbor has changed over time. Neighbor now is the person who lives just next door to you. There's no personal relationship most of the time. On my street where I lived in Windsor, California, we had one – we knew neighbors. They were neighbors next door. Hi, how are you doing? Wave at you. That's it. They didn't know us. They didn't want to know us. They're just very to themselves. It's very weird in California. Where I came from in Indiana, you knew your neighbors, and you were involved with other things with them. Your kids played with them. You know, you knew your neighbors. They were more than just people living next door.
Yeah.
Well, on my street here, and I woke up – 2 nights ago, I woke up and I said to my wife the next morning, I said, get this. We had one good friend on our street that we did stuff with. We went to events, music events, you name it. We did it together. They were our closest friend on our street. Everybody else was just a neighbor living next door.
Now, this was in California.
In California.
Okay.
The neighbor down the street was a true neighbor. We did stuff for each other. Their mother was sick. I helped them. You were actual real friend neighbors, you know. John, do you know what the last name of that neighbor was?
You told me, but I'd forgotten.
McDonald. I kid you not. I kid you not. My two best friends, one on the street named McDonald, Greg and Gigi McDonald and Ian McDonald, and Ron McDonald, two McDonalds in California, my two best friends.
And the only Ronald McDonald I ever met was the clown at Mickey D's.
Exactly. I mean, what's the odds that my wife goes, geez, you're right. The McDonald's down the street. They were our best friends on our street there. And Ron McDonald, what's the odds of that?
Well, I'll tell you what. Are you a betting man? I'm not really a betting man, but I'll bet you dollars to donuts he wants to do the show Monday.
Well, that'd be a surprise. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. But I actually talked to him earlier, and he's now just waiting for a bed on the step down unit. Believe it, that's how fast he's progressing with his treat, with his care right now. So he's actually just, I was talking to him because I'm going to take a little walk now with my nurse, And it's funny because he notices the pretty nurses in this hospital. He said, "You got some pretty good looking nurses in this hospital." I said, "Yeah, you do." And so we'll go find one and go walk around the unit a little bit, get some exercise and work on those lungs a little bit. But he should be transferred sometime tonight to a step down unit. So if it happens, that's great. If not, he'll be transferred out tomorrow morning to that step down unit. So he's progressing on pretty good.
Now, if we really wanted to test his sense of humor, if the nurse would have looked at him and said, "Well, Mr. McDonald, well, thank you. Yes, we have all of our nurses here are good looking. Excuse me, Mr. McDonald, you didn't know you died yesterday?" I would have hung it on him real thick.
Yeah, well, I'd say we have a phone call for you, Ronald. It's Ray Kroc from McDonald's wants to talk to you. There you go. Now that's a joke. Ray Kroc. We got a phone call for you. Is Ray Kroc? Is he? You know him?
Well, you know, I put off doing this because I not that I'm superstitious or I didn't want to invite bad things happening or whatever. But there is a little thing. Let me pull it up here on the website that I had posted the other day. And it's called a great obituary. Now, this was actually posted. Somebody had actually posted this in the New York Times. At first, she was puzzled as she started reading the obituary in the paper. But what followed was genius. "Today, we mourn the passing of a beloved old friend, Common Sense, who's been with us for many years. No one knows for sure how old he was, since his birth records were lost long ago in a bureaucratic red tape. He will be remembered as having cultivated such valuable lessons as knowing when to come out of the rain, why the early bird gets the worm, life isn't always fair, and maybe it was my fault. Common Sense lived by simple, sound financial policies, don't spend more than you earn, and reliable strategies like adults, not children, are in charge. His health began to deteriorate rapidly when well-intentioned but overbearing regulations were set in place. Reports of a 6-year-old boy charged with sexual harassment for kissing a classmate, teens suspended from school for using mouthwash after lunch, and a teacher fired for reprimanding an unruly student only worsened his condition. Common Sense lost ground when parents attacked teachers for doing the job that they themselves had failed to do in disciplining their unruly children. It declined even further when the schools were required to get parental consent to administer sun lotion or an aspirin to a student, but could not inform parents when a student became pregnant and wanted to have an abortion. Common Sense lost the will to live as the churches became businesses and criminals received better treatment than their victims. Common Sense took a beating when you couldn't defend yourself from the burglar in your own home and that the burglar could sue you for assault. Common Sense finally gave up the will to live after the woman failed to realize that a steaming cup of coffee was hot. She spilled a little in her lap and was promptly awarded a huge settlement." Going back to Mickey D's here. "Common Sense was preceded in death by his parents, truth and trust, by his wife, discretion, by his daughter, responsibility, and by his son, reason. He is survived by his 5 stepbrothers. I know my rights. I want it now. Someone else is to blame. I'm a victim. Pay me for doing nothing. Not many attended his funeral because so few realized he was gone. And if you still remember him, pass this on. If not, join the majority and do nothing." I couldn't do that the other day because it might have been, we would have been talking about another obituary.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I felt the same way last couple of days, and big relief, big relief. I called him yesterday. He had a funny voice because, of course, he had an endotracheal tube in his throat helping him breathe. And,
actually, he was talking to you on the phone.
No. When they pull it later on, your voice changes. Okay. You can't talk over an ET tube. But when they pulled it later on, your voice is kind of affected. He sounded a little like Donald Duck a little bit, you know. But I knew he was doing good. He's oxygenating well, and he's getting around really well. But he did want me to let the listeners know that he is very, very appreciative of all those emails and all those prayers that were sent his way. He was very touched to a point where he was talking about some of the foreign ones all over the globe. I'm sure he had a tear in his eyes, but he says, "Thank you very much, listeners."
Here's a guy that didn't think that he was as important to the listening audience as he was.
Yeah.
Hey, can you hang on a second here?
Yeah, sure, sure.
Hang on. We'll take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
They came and took it all away.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than 2 of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Steven?
Yes.
Oh, there you are. Okay,
I'm here. You know, I actually said to him real quick here, he said also, and he mentioned all the emails he got and all the attention and all the prayers, and I said to him, he seemed rather surprised. He received so many. He didn't tell me the number, but evidently it was a lot. And I said to him, he was kind of surprised he got that much attention. I said, Ron, doesn't it feel good knowing that you're loved? Doesn't that feel good? And he said, God, it sure does. It sure does. He didn't realize how much an impact he has at this network. He does not realize how many lives he touches when he comes on this network. He doesn't know that.
And he's been there. You know, I can count on one hand in 8 years the amount of shows that he didn't do. And it was generally if there was a family emergency or something, or with himself an emergency. Maybe 5 times he's missed in 8 years. He was there with me every Monday. Wow. I got David in California. He's got a question about Ron and Syria. I don't think Ron's in Syria right now, but David, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't really have a question on Ron, except for I'm thankful, very, very thankful that he's okay. And he seems Steve, is he out of the woods for the most part?
Yeah, actually, he's amazing. He's not taking any pain medication. He's the opposite of what I remember and know of these kind of patients. Usually some of them at his age, because he's 70, which is interesting. This happened the day after his birthday, his 70th birthday, which, it just makes 70 here, and then you have this issue with chest pain. But, he's actually – we call a patient like Ron a fast tracker. And you don't see him that often, especially at that age. Usually this bypass surgery is pretty rough. Now, it's rough – at this age, but he's got a couple other issues, other body, functions, other systems that are kind of conflicting. So if you take that all in, the risk factor goes up much higher. So it's not Ron's time. It's just not Ron's time. He's got to finish that book. He's got a lot of work here with us to do at RBN. So like I said, he's going to transfer out probably tonight if there's a bed available. If not, he'll go out tomorrow morning. I think he'll be there another 3 or 4 days. And then he'll go home and do the rest
God
there.
Thank God for that. We're the beneficiaries, and I appreciate hearing all that great news.
Yeah.
John, I just wanted to say a couple of days ago when Mike was on the show, I couldn't have been more embarrassed and ashamed of RBN. I could not have been. You sit there and throw a hissy fit like a two-year-old and then tell him he's unprofessional?
I mean,
come on.
Wait a minute. Steve, did you hear me say anything like that on air?
You know, what's the caller's name?
His name is David.
David.
That's right.
David. Let's move on from that broadcast. Let's please move on from that broadcast. Sometimes people get very passionate, David, and heads lock. They lock horns, and it happens. And I'm not making excuses for anybody. I'm not going to do that. And I'm just going to say, let's kind of go forward and learn from the experience and do better. And maybe, just keep the message going. The truth is what we do here. We want to talk about the issues. And sometimes we get so passionate that we do lock horns. And I there's hosts on this network, I'll tell you right now, I've locked horns with on air. And it just happens. And I'm not going to make excuses for anybody on this here, David, but I'd like to move forward and be positive. And I wish Michael Herzog the best. I really do.
Well,
I wish him the best because that's the way it is.
Since this was brought up under the guise of I want to talk about Syria, let me explain to you what happened Monday. Okay, let me explain it to you. I had the flu. It was a very important show. Michael wanted to do the show, wanted to get the information out. He was invited on. What actually happened is I threw up. Now, you could have heard on the air. I couldn't hit my... I just did that. I couldn't do that and reach for the trash can. So what I did was hopped up out of my chair, threw my headphones down, hopped out of my chair. I was halfway out the door, and my foot got caught. I went to steady myself. I grabbed the doorknob and fell down while holding the doorknob, and I broke the bottom of the door, by the way. And I came, that's why I wasn't on the air yesterday. And thank you, Chris Hinckley, for filling in for me. So what was it you were saying?
Michael.
Where is he? I don't know.
I mean, did you
did not. He might be partying with Dr. Wynn Parker for all I know. Now, why would you make that assumption?
Assumption?
Yes.
Real easy. I heard it. This is why I do not donate to this network. What if we all donated and then you threw a hissy fit and go off the air? I mean, come on, John. I've been listening to radio for a long, long time.
And long enough to get up and duplicitously misrepresent yourself by lying and saying you wanted to talk to me about Syria? Thank you for your call.
Sure.
Thank you, David, for your call. We're out of time. Got to take a break. A good break. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
No one can decide what we all must outrun. Who's gonna carry the weight of the world until we learn to stop and do what must be done? This ain't no Shangri-La.
Can you heat that up for me, please?
Thank you.
No, come on.
No Shangri-La.
All right, we're back. All righty. Steve in North Carolina. Hello, Steve.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Mr. Stattmiller, Mr. Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
How y'all doing?
Good. What's on your mind, Steve?
What's on my mind? My mind is our founding fathers, the Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and what would they do with the kind of government we got right now?
Well, I can tell you what they'd do. And actually, the words from Thomas Jefferson, he said there needs to be a revolution every 25 years to keep the government honest. And we're way overdue for that.
I think they'd put Captain Ball and walk through the White House and wipe him out. That's what I think they'd do. I could be wrong. What do y'all think?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear him, Steve. Did you hear him?
I didn't quite get all of it. Go ahead and repeat yourself one more time, would you please?
I think they would put Captain Ball and walk through the White House and clean him out. That's what I think they would do.
Well, you know what? If we had term limitations, we wouldn't have this problem. We got career politicians in there who live in there and never they just die. They die in office, and they're owned by lobbyists and corporations. I mean, that's not good for America. That's not good for you and myself. So, you know, we could first start with term limitations. You have it for a governor. You have it for a president. Why not a senator?
Yeah.
You know, why not the entire Congress? Two terms, and you're done. You're out. This whole thing, a politician now, we used to have statesmen, and the statesmen disappeared. We had professional politicians now, and we need to get rid of the politician and go back to the statesman. Two terms, you're out. That's the best. That's the best policy.
We used to have statesmen. That is correct.
Statesmen, correct.
And what happened to our country? I mean, how we not become, vigilance is, where do we go wrong?
If you've been listening to the network for as long as I've been doing it, you wouldn't even have to listen that long. You know exactly how this has happened. That's a rhetorical question, my friend.
I think I tuned in to you about 2010.
Okay.
2011.
Okay. Well, then.
And I went through a whole gamut of emotions. Yeah. And it flipped my whole world upside down. Mm-hmm. And because I've been lied to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know what? I've always figured it was my duty and obligation in service to my country, when my country was in trouble, to come to the aid of it. You know, you've done
a hell of a job, Mr. Satmiller.
Well, and I appreciate that through all the hurdles and the drama and everything else. Hey, we're still here, and we'll continue to be here.
So what's the answer that we got? I mean, how do we fix this problem?
Well, the program was described Monday. If that is true, but then we don't have anything to worry about because Donald's got the big red S on his chest, and he's going to ride to the rescue. Mm-hmm. Trouble with that plan is he doesn't have a backup. In other words, you can be a great leader of a country, but if you have nobody in the second row that's going to stand behind you and stand up to take your place and to see the mission through, it has failed. Who do we have? Mike Pence? No, ain't gonna happen.
I talked to Michael Herzog the other day, and my oratory skills are not very well, and I like to have oratory skills to be able to explain to people, because most people they really don't give a shit.
Hey, hey, Mike, all right. That's one oratory you got right, Stephen. Billy Bob can't say that word. Okay. Thank you for your call.
No. You know, I was going to say to him that neither party is recognizable. You notice that, John? The Democrats, Republicans, they are not even. When I was getting involved in politics in the 70s and understanding conservatism with the Republicans, and the working class man was the Democrat. But you can't tell the difference between these parties anymore. I mean, they're catering and pandering, and they're getting on their soapbox and promising this and that. You can't tell the difference between a Democrat and a Republican hardly anymore. They're both pandering. They're both lying through their teeth, promising you this and that, and then they go work for the corporations and the lobbyists. It's embarrassing, and I tell people, break the party habit. Forget the parties. They're both dissing you. They're no good. Be an independent. Be an independent. And then they'll have to work for you and actually come up with some kind of policies and some plans. As it is now, you see the red states, blue states. Well, how did that come about? Blue states, red states. You're in their back pocket is what it is. The red state, blue state thing, you are in their back pocket. They don't have to work for you at all because you are going to vote the party line.
Right.
We need to forget the party line, go independent all the way.
And what's showing up is the pre-washed, pre-sanitized, here's your candidate, and we're handing you the lesser of two evils, evil and evil's brother. So go ahead and vote.
Right.
I more than maybe anybody out there is hoping that Donald Trump is that guy with the big red S that comes down to save our planet. But what if it isn't? And the thing that makes me highly suspect that it ain't going to go that way is because there's no number two guy. If Ron McDonald can suffer a heart attack twice in 2 weeks, why is a 70-year-old sitting in the White House right now bulletproof? And that's the other issue. Kennedy, it's pretty much accepted now that, well, the CIA had a grand hand on eliminating him. We had that little Bay of Pigs thing. He made the comments that I'm going to spread the CIA to the four winds. He put the bankers on notice by putting out the federal notes, not the Federal Reserve notes. What he did was displace the power of the Fed Reserve by giving the people a money that was non-interest bearing. And they whacked him. Now, the problem I'm having right now is Mike Pence going to pick up that flag if Donald Trump, and this is all based on the assumption that all of what we talked about Monday is actually going to take place. I personally don't think that it's going to.
You know, John, I think Mike Pence, you think that Donald Trump is controlled by the deep state. I think you'd see a real puppet with Mike Pence. They would love that. The deep state would love to have Mike Pence running the show. He is so controllable. We got a better shot with Donald Trump, so let's kind of cross our fingers on that.
Well, I'll answer your question with this story that I was going to do a little bit later, but it fits right now. A little city in Mexico called Charon. It's about 200 miles west of Mexico City. Population about 16,000. And predominantly from an indigenous, and I don't even know what the heck this means, Purépecha community, who squeeze out a meager living from agriculture, corn, oats, beans, wheats, potatoes, apples, and timber. They had about 59,000 acres of timber down there that they were the stewards of that land. If they would cut down timber, and this is what was supporting the community, they would cut down the timber and sell it for the infrastructure expenses without taxing the people. Okay, all good and dandy, except one thing. There was a criminal cartel that came in, mowed down half of their forest, bought off the local officials, the police, the mayor, and this was actually being run by a criminal cartel of ripping this city off, and they got tired of it. Well, they got rid of the mayor. They got rid of the police. You know who's down there patrolling the streets right now? Civilians, protecting their own interest. Where are we going to see that in this country? I hope not, because that'll further divide America. I'll tell you what the automatic flip the switch, and we can actually have a contemplation day, or, as I put it, a shut the hell up day. And why don't you try reading the documents that founded this country? This would shut the Democrats up. If you held their feet to the fire that this is not a democracy, this is a republic, and not a banana republic, but a constitutionally limited republic. You want freedom? You want all of this? Okay. Here's the document. Read it. It doesn't say anything about being on the government teat for the rest of your lives. It doesn't talk about perpetrating the welfare state. It doesn't talk about, and Steve, I'll tell you what, I want to cover this story with you because you're down in God's waiting room at Broward County. Remember the shooting that happened a couple of months ago?
Oh, yeah.
I want to give you some background on this. And when I said that they were using the schools as just as the 10 planks, the 10th plank, the Communist Manifesto, man, 10th plank, take control of government schools, education, to be used as a transmission belt. They're schooling these children right now in fear, not liberty, not freedom. They're not teaching them, even in civics class, what the hell the Constitution was. The only way that they even broach the Constitution is if it's on a reading test or a spelling test, I should say. Do you know how to spell the word? Not what it meant, not your relation and your duty and obligation to what it serves. I'm ranting here. Let me get off of that and take Tom in Florida. Hello, Tom.
Yeah, John. Listen, John, I want to talk about the stench of the Kennedy family. I want to ask you and everybody in your audience and the guy you're with, Dave, did you see the movie Chappaquiddick yet, John?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, you need to go see it, I believe. You might find it very interesting.
I'll wait till it comes on Netflix.
That I saw the other night.
Okay.
Excuse me?
I said I'll wait till it comes on Netflix, but go ahead.
Okay, fine. Well, you can do whatever you want, but hopefully, potentially, you'll see it. the movie Chappaquiddick was very powerful in the fact that you showed what the TV camera back even in the days in 69 could do.
Mm-hmm.
With those big box CBS cameras they had pointing at Kennedy. And when you see right there, there was the deep state right in that movie. But I want to let you in on a little secret of that movie, John. Back in the 50s and 60s, they used to put movies out, and they'd have subliminal messages, so you go to an intermission and go get popcorn and all that, and then you'd break and you go back and watch the rest of the movie. Well, in this movie, Chappaquiddick, they have a little, like, subliminal message, and you hear the word immigration, but you don't hear what immigration means and what Kennedy did with 1965 Immigration Act. But you do hear that word. It's very low, but you hear the word immigration. And that's all you hear about that sentence of immigration. And I guess it's supposedly meaning what he did back in the 65.
Now, we're talking about Teddy because John was killed 2 years before that, right?
No. That was Bobby. That was Bobby. John died in 63.
You're talking about Bobby and what he did in 1965?
John, please listen. No.
I'm trying. Trust me.
Okay, I'll make it clear to you. This is Teddy Kennedy.
Okay.
This movie is about Teddy Kennedy and Edward Kennedy.
Right, okay.
Edward Kennedy.
Chapter.
In 1965 does the Immigration Act, John.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
But in the movie is about 1969 when you had the Apollo 11, when the man Armstrong was walking on the moon. And that's what covered up the Kennedy scandal, which was Chappaquiddick, with Mary Jo Kopechnik, the girl.
Kopechnik.
Who was murdered. She was absolutely murdered. There's no question about it when you see the movie.
Okay.
But my point is this. And we'll talk about immigration in a minute, if you give me a minute. But and I want to talk about Mercone today's speech in the Capitol, when he's telling us we don't need nationalism, why France is being invaded with all the Arabs. But I'll get back to the movie. I think you would enjoy it. It's very well done. I think the guy that plays Joe Kennedy, the father in the wheelchair, I think he should get the Oscar award. That guy should have got the Oscar in Hollywood.
Okay, you're talking about stuff that probably the audience hasn't seen, and I know I haven't seen, so...
Well, you'll be talking about it when you do see it because it's very heavy movie.
Okay.
It's very well done. That's all I'm letting you know.
Okay.
And the deep state was there with the Kennedys. We all know that. It goes even back when Eisenhower said about the industrial complex. But now getting back to immigration and Mercone in France, and it kind of looks funny that I think Trump's wife should be with Mercone and Mercone's wife should be with Trump. It's kind of weird how that is. It's really a funny picture there. But what's really funny to me is, too, John, this guy, Mercone, saying we don't need nationalism. Well, I wonder if Donald Trump should go to – I think he should go address the parliament in France and tell the French people
Tom, for interest of clarification, are you talking about Macron from France?
Yeah, Mercone.
Okay,
yeah,
all right. And okay, now this is the part that I'm missing. What did he say about nationalism?
He said the United States does not need nationalism. The United States is wrong to promote nationalism. But in the meantime, Donald Trump should go to France, John, and he should get on their parliament and say, well, you do need nationalism because your country's been invaded. All of Europe has been invaded.
Okay, Tom, hang on a second here. You know, I heard something the other day. You want to talk about humor, Steve. I heard something about France. And what would France do if they were attacked and invaded? And the answer to that question, I don't know. We haven't seen what they do yet, because every damn time the French put up a meager little resistance and they allow themselves to be occupied. So we don't know.
Right. It's true.
Tom, anything else?
Well, yeah, John, as far as the immigration in the United States here, the caravans in Baja, I guess, in Tijuana, whatever, Tijuana. And did you see the murder statistics in Mexico, John?
No,
for
I
a
didn't.
Year?
I didn't.
Okay. Did you see did you see the news about how many murders there have been in Tijuana in the last 1 month?
No, Tom, you're going to have to enlighten me because I don't know what's in your head and what you've seen.
I'm going to enlighten you. Okay, John, let me enlighten you. There's been 29,738 murders in Mexico in 1 year.
Okay.
From year to year.
That's horrible.
Now, what happened in Tijuana over the last month, there's 638 murders in the month of April. I believe March. In the month of March, they had 638 murders in Tijuana. So I'm enlightening you. Now you see what I'm saying. And there's a caravan that's telling Donald Trump, being belligerently, telling the Border Patrol and all that, we're going to sneak in your country and you're going to accept us. And you're going to put us up with Section 8 food stamps and everything.
Right.
And Donald Trump says, hell no, we're not.
right.
You're going back to where you come from. In Mexico, why do you allow these people to come 1,000, 1,100 miles through your country to come to our border?
That's a good question. Why don't they? Because, you know, what I've heard and talked to other people about the border control that Mexico has on their southern border, we've never seen that between the border of the United States and Mexico. And they're allowing these people to come through. Now, note, I'm saying allowing, because Mexico is not being inundated with foreigners like Mexico is inundating us or allowing to be inundated here in this country. And it's just not Mexicans. It's OTMs, other than Mexicans, Hondurans, MS, give it a name, give it a time, give it a corrupt cabal. We have let them into this country. And everybody was crossing their fingers, and especially the Democrats, all these poor people, look at the DACA. You know, this is about children born on U.S. soil. And, you know, forget the fact that he...
John.
Forget the fact... Exactly. And forget the fact that maybe the person that snuck over the border, husband and wife, maybe he was one of these drug cartels. You know, when that baby is allowed to stay here, so are the parents. And you can't get rid of the criminal then. Can we just go?
I'll hang on for,
no, you, I can't. I got to keep moving, my friend. I got to keep moving. All right.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months, and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Some say life will beat you down, break your heart, steal your crown. So I've started out for God knows where. I guess I'll know when I get there.
All right, we're back. Jeff in Georgia. Hello, Jeff.
John, how you doing?
Good, sir.
I'm glad you're glad your friend's doing better.
So is he.
Things, John. Yeah, and I know he's a good man because I know you guys are. There's three things we could do to really flip this country around. And I'm going to make it brief. You cancel the debt. You end welfare, and you have full employment, and you cut defense. You could flip, in my estimation, $1.5 to $2 trillion a year around, where the money would be going for the American people. We have to do this quickly, John, because Bernie Sanders a couple days ago came out and he said we'd have to have full employment. I'm for full employment, but he's for the bankers running it. I'm for the American people. Okay. The Democratic Party has called for reparations for African Americans. The problem is the puppet masters, and you know who I'm talking about, they want to divide us ethnically and racially. We have to resist that.
Yeah.
We have to go after the jugular vein. We have to cancel the debt. We have to end welfare as we know it, and because you create full employment, and you could cut defense about one-fifth. I work for the Defense Department.
Uh-huh.
You could cut it one-fifth of what it currently is. You could shake hands with Russia and China and say we'll coexist.
Yep.
And you would not need that kind of defense.
Now wait a minute, Jeff. Let me digress here for a second. You said one-fifth of the military budget. Let me posit this with you. I think we can get rid of half, if not more, than the military budget. Why do we have bases all over the world? Why do we still have NATO? If we're shaking if we're shaking hands with China and Russia, and we're telling them, look, let's stop the political theater here, let's stop the drama, you know, let's set up the trade. There, the governments would be more interested in making money than making war. Okay, because here in this country, it's all ass backwards. There's people lining their pockets by the art of war and the deception that they have brought us into. You, Jeff, you've heard me say, in the entire history of this country, we have known a lousy 4 years of peace without shooting up somebody somewhere for some reason.
I said we could cut defense one-fifth of what it currently is. That's cutting it to the bone. That's not cutting it one-fifth. That's cutting it by over $500 billion a year.
Okay, no, I took it to mean when you said you can cut the budget by one-fifth, you mean reduce it to one-fifth of what it actually is right now?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I'm in agreement with you.
If you do those three things, you'll take the air out of the puppet masters. And by the way, one more thing.
Yeah.
The CIA was involved in the assassination of Kennedy. But
sure,
the puppet masters, the bankers, played the central role. They played the central role from the shadows, and they got away with it.
John, keep Jeff on. I got to ask him.
Okay. We're coming up here to the top of the hour break. Hang on a second, Jeff. Wes in Oklahoma, I will take your call. And then I want to run a story. If you got to run, Steve, I want to run this story by you and get your comment, because this is what I was talking about in this hour. It's now our public fool system. We're turning our little kids into, our little millennials here, into robotic automatons and teaching them just to accept whatever somebody with supposedly a badge of authority tells them to do. And by the way, it does involve the badges of Broward, or how should I say, Coward County, Florida. We'll take the top of the hour break. Hang on, Jeff. Steve, hang on a second. 90 seconds, top of the hour break. Appreciate you being here. We'll be right back. This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsite.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.